We're holding on Zion Omotbay is the third line of the wide lines. So we've been talking about the point that a Mazik has to pay out of Meitav. He's paying with land. He has to pay with the best quality land that he has. We went through yesterday the discussion, what about if he pays with Metalplin? We eventually concluded that any Metalplin are considered Meitav, and all because you can take them, because you can always take them someplace else and sell them, and only when it comes to Karka do we say that there's that distinction. So now more on that topic. Abominate of Shmuel Ba'Abba Me'akrunia Mirab Abba. Rav Shmuel Ba'Abba from Akrunia, name of a place, asked Rav Abba, Kishrehen Shomin, when we figure out what is the definition of Idis for this purposes, or for that matter, when we talk about the other ones, Beninis for Baal Choyv, Ziboris for Ksubas Yisha, B'Shaloi Hen Shomin, do we figure it out in accordance with what he himself has? So in other words, whatever he himself has as Idis is what he's going to give. Which would mean, in other words, Rashi says, so let's say, for example, what if he has Idis and Ziburis, and his Ziburis is the equivalent of what most people would consider Idis. So in other words, he has what most people would consider Idis, and then he has on top of that, he has even better land that's better than the average Idis. So then we would say, now if we say the Shaloi Hen Shomin, he's going to have to give what is Idis relative to him. Or do we maybe go according to what the rest of the world has, since as far as the rest of the world, as far as everybody else in that area, their Idis is of a lower quality and it's comparable to his Ziburis, then maybe he can get away with paying only with his Ziburis. So, Rav Shmuel Ba'Abba points out, now, if you're asking according to Rabbi Shmuel, there'd be no reason to even ask a question. We discussed before the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on what basis do we calculate when we say meitav sadeho or meitav karmoi. We said Rabbi Shmuel had said that means the best of the feet or the best of the quality of the nizik. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, then there's no question. The nizik shemin, and he says you figure out according to the nizik. So therefore, his mazik ziburis is the equivalent of the nizek's idis. It's the equivalent of everyone's idis, we said. So there's no question, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that he could pay with his ziburis. We're showing you give a few other reasons why the question is not according to Rabbi Shmuel. Tosfa says, we said Rabbi Shmuel learned from Xavier Shabbat. So therefore, because of that Xera Shaga, then we have no choice but to say he's able to pay with Ziburis if he wants. Ziburis of his, which is equal to Idis of the Nizik. Rabbi Akiva, though, Rabbi Akiva didn't learn from Xera Shaga. He said, Loi Bo HaKosav. He said, we have to understand the Pasuk differently. So he said that you don't go according to the Nizik. So we discussed before, does that mean you go according to the Mazik? Fine, but maybe Rabbi Akiva would say you don't go according to the Nizik, but you could go according to Alma. If it so happens that the Nizik himself only has lesser quality fields, Then you can't say that the Mazik is going to get away with a lesser payment. But if you say that everybody has lesser quality fields than the Mazik, then maybe even Rabbi Akiva would agree. And then there are different other explanations, one of them being that since Rabbi Akiva had used the expression Loi Boha Kosov Elo Ligris from the Zikin Mina Idis, so therefore it was clear that Rabbi Shmuel wants to be Makel on the Mazik. So maybe therefore we should be mazik. Therefore we should be maybe make on him in this case as well. The fact is also Rabbi Akiva had not said it in so many words, at least not in the original braisa that we brought. That you go according to the mazik. We only brought a later braisa that says that. So maybe Rabbi Akiva in fact holds that you don't necessarily go according to the nizik or the mazik, and you can go according to Alma. Anyway, so whatever the case, however we explain it, the point is the question is not going to be according to Rabbi Shmuel. Kitiboy, lacha libidir Rabbi Akiva. The question is going to be according to Rabbi Akiva, where the halacha is like him, da'ama b'dimazik shayminan, where he says we go according to what the mazik has. So, my, meitav sadehu omar achman al ma'uti dinizik, when Rabbi Akiva says meitav sadehu, and we said Rabbi Akiva had meant that sadehu doesn't mean the field of the nizik like Rabbi Shmuel had understood. It means, so all he means is, you're excluding, he can't get away with giving something that's only equal to the best field of the Nizik. But maybe, But maybe then in this case, where it's not just the Nizik, everybody else also has lesser quality Iris, then maybe he can get away with paying with something of lesser quality of his Ziburis, or maybe not. Maybe when Rabbi Akiva says that we're excluding the Nizik, it also means we're excluding everybody else, and it means, therefore, that he can't get away with paying anything less than his own Iris. His own Iddis is far better than everybody else's Iddis. Doesn't matter. Rabbi Akiva would be implying that that's how you have to do. So that's the question. Rabbi Abba answers, what are you even asking the question? Rachmana Omer Meitav Sadehu. After all, the Pasuk says that you have to pay with the best of your field. You want to argue you go only according to the world? Of course not. You shouldn't even have the question. Of course, when you have to have Meitav somehow, if you're going to have that he's paying with Ziburis of his, which is only the equivalent of Meitav of everybody else, fine, you can say Rabbi Shmuel is going to say Meitav Sadehu means you go according to the Nizik. Rabbi Akiva, we said, is not going to go according to the Nizik. Well, there's no basis to say that Rabbi Akiva should go according to the Olam, according to Alma, according to everybody else, because that won't be Meitav Sadehu. No matter how you figure out, Meitav Sadehu has to refer to one of the people who's involved with you, either the Nizik or the Mazik. And since Rabbi Shmuel has said that it's the Nizik, and Rabbi Akiva clearly disagrees, then the only other one can be the Mazik. So yes, says Rabbi Abba, the Mazik is going to have to pay with his Iddis, even though that's far better than everybody else's. But then, Eitzvei, so Rabbi Shmuel says, I have a question. A Braisa says, Ein loy ela Iddis, suppose a person only owns Iddis fields, then, and we learned yesterday, you have a Nizik is supposed to get from Iddis, a Baal Choyv is supposed to get from Beinonis, and a woman collecting Huxuba is supposed to get from Ziburis. Now, if the guy has only Iddis, Kulam Goyim in Iddis, then all of them collect from Iddis. The Chiddush of that is, now on the face of it, there's not much of a Chiddush. What do you mean? What else are they supposed to collect from? The Me'iri explains the Chiddush is that that he can't say, well, look, right now I only have Iddis. I don't want to have to pay Iddis for the Baal Choyv and the Ksubas Isha. After all, you guys are only supposed to get Beninus and Ziburis respectively. So wait, I'm going to go and buy some Beninus and Ziburis fields, and then I'll give those to you. The Chiddush says he can't say that. We go according to how things are right now. Right now he has only Iddis, therefore he has to pay them all out of Iddis. Obviously, the amount of Iddis he's going to be giving them, as we discussed before, is going to be smaller than the amount of Beninus or Ziburis he would be giving them, because it's always a particular, it's always an exact dollar value. So $100 of Iddis is going to be a smaller plot of land than $100 of Beninus or Ziburis. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Beninus, if he only has Beninus fields, Kulam Govin Beninus, then all of them are going to collect Beninus, because that's all he has. Ziburis, Kulam Govin Ziburis, and if he has Ziburis, then all of them are collecting only Ziburis. Same idea. They can't say, on the contrary, we're going to wait until, they can't say, well, they could. I mean, obviously, they could wait and collect later, but the point is that, rather, the chiddush is that he can't say that, look, you know, among the fields that I have, this particular one of my Ziburis, I consider it to be Iddis. No, we go according to the objective value. All of them are Ziburis, therefore, any one of them has the right to collect any one of them. He can't say, I want to earmark this one for this particular purpose and that one for that particular purpose. Fine. Then the Braisa continues. Hoyulo idis benis viziboris. Hoyulo idis or benis viziboris. What if he has all three? Then the usual rules apply. Nizok in the idis or bal choyv benis ksubasisha viziboris. Then fine. The nizek, the bal choyv, and the woman, the wife, are each going to be collecting from their respective thing. What about idis or benis? Continues the Braisa, what if he only has Iddis and Beninus, no Ziburis? Then Nizok in the Iddis, the Nizik is going to collect out of Iddis, because that's how they're supposed to be. Or Baal Choyv, Ksubasisha, but Beninus, then the Baal Choyv and the woman for Huksuba are both going to collect from Beninus, even though usually a woman is collecting from Ziburis, but here, since he doesn't have any Ziburis, then she collects and then she gets upgraded to Beninus. Beninus with Ziburis, what happens if he doesn't have Iddis, only Beninus and Ziburis, Nizok and Baal Choyv with Beninus, then the Baal Choyv is going to get Beninus because that's what he's supposed to get. The Nizokin is going to get Beninus because there's no choice, he doesn't have Iddis. Huxuba Sisha with Ziburis, and the wife is going to get Huxuba from Ziburis, which is how things normally are. Then continues the Braisa, Idis Ziburis. What about if he only has Idis and Ziburis? No Bainness. Then we do like this. Nizokin the Idis. The Nizok gets Idis because that's how he's supposed to. Or Baal Choyv, Ksubas Isha the Ziburis. The Baal Choyv is going to get downgraded to Ziburis, and the Ksubas Isha, of course, is getting Ziburis anyway. The Baal Choyv is getting downgraded to Ziburis because Rashi explains, given that Midaraisa, a Baal Choyv is anyway only supposed to get Ziburis. Only Midarabonon did we upgrade into Bainness because we said, Shalatino Delas Bifne Loivin, we don't want to lock the door in front of people who want to borrow money. We don't want that a person is going to say, well, look, why should I bother lending you money if there's a good chance all I'm going to get out of it is Ziburis? So that's why usually he gets Baininess, but here, where the guy doesn't have Baininess, we don't upgrade him all the way to Idis. We leave him at Ziburis. So Baal Choyv, so Vasishab is Ziburis. So therefore, the Takana doesn't apply in that case. Now, so thus far the Braisa. So now says Rav Shmuel Ba'aba. Katoni Mia Mitzia. Now we had in the middle of the Braisa, we had the case Bainness v'Ziburis Nizokin Baal Choyv Bainness Ksubas Isha v'Ziburis. So we said when the guy has only Bainness and Ziburis, so what do we say? The Nizek gets all, and the Baal Choyv get only Bainness, the Ksubas Isha gets from Ziburis. So you're telling me, in other words, the point is, let's focus on the Baal Choyv. And we're saying a Baal Choyv should get Baininess, but we're saying when there's no Baininess, then he gets downgraded to Ziburis. Now, the Amit B'Shaloi Hen Shomen. Now, you, Rav Abba, are telling me that we go according to his. You wanted to say that because the Pasuk says Mate of Sadehu, and therefore, and since according to Rav Akiva, that doesn't refer to the fields of the Nizek, therefore it has to refer to the fields of the Mazik, and therefore we have to say the Mazik in that case where he has a far better quality field than anybody else, he has to give that. Okay, so if we apply that rule across the board, B'Shaloi Hen Shomen, then it would come out in our case where the guy has Baininess and Ziburis, to also Baininess Shaloi Ki Idis, then you would have to say in this case it's the other way around. He doesn't have such good quality fields. The best that he has is Baininess. So his Baininess should be the equivalent of Idis, because you say you go according to how he has. So in effect, what he has, if you go B'Shaloi, you're not going according to the common valuation of these things. If you go according to his, then it comes out what he has as Baininess is really relative to him as Idis. So in effect, he has Idis and Ziburis. V'yidacha Baal Choyv etzol Ziburis. So therefore, the Baal Choyv shouldn't get Idis, shouldn't get Baininess. He should get pushed down to Ziburis. So if you say that you go according to B'shal Olam Hein Shomin, then fine. You say, look, the definition of an Idis field is one that's worth more than X number of dollars per acre. So he doesn't have that. But he has the definition of Baininess as something that's worth, between this and this. So fine, then you tell his Baal Choyv that he can collect from Baininess. But if you're telling me B'Shaloi Hein Shomin, meaning that it's always a sliding scale depending on what he himself has, then in that case, we should consider this guy doesn't have any Baininess for the Baal Choyv. All he has is Idis and Ziburis, in effect. And since we said in the end of the Braisa that if he only has Idis and Ziburis, then the Baal Choyv gets Ziburis, so it should be the same thing over here. The Baal Choyv should only get Ziburis. Why is he getting Baininess when Baininess is the best the guy has, and a Baal Choyv is not supposed to be getting the best the guy has? The answer is, Hocha Maiskin and Kontroisalo Idis Umochra. The answer is, the case of the Braisa, when it says that Baal Choyv is going to collect from Baininess, when he has only Baininess and Ziburis, we're talking about that at the time when he borrowed the money, he had Idis, and then afterwards he sold it. So now what happened is, when he took out the loan, he sold that Idis after he had taken out the loan. So when he took out the loan, a shibud was created on his Baininess. Well, now that even though he sold his Idis, that doesn't change. That shibud doesn't shift to a different lane. So that would be the case. You're right. Based on the logic of B'Shaloi Hein Shomin, if to begin with he only ever owned Baininess and Ziburis, you would have to say the Baal Choyv should realize that eventually if he's collecting from land, he's going to get only Ziburis. But when at the time of the loan, the guy did have Idis as well, and therefore the Baal Choyv had every expectation of getting Baininess, then he continues to have that expectation that Shibur does not move over to a different character. And Rav Chista says the same thing. And the Gemara says, in fact, it's logical you have to understand the Braisa that way. That we're talking about that particular case in the Braisa is talking about where he had Idis and sold it. Midikatani Achriki, because the Braisa had continued, Benness was Ziburis, that if the guy has only Benness and Ziburis and he owes all three, so we said Nizak and Benness, the Nizak is going to get Benness, Balchoiv and Ksubas Isha be Ziburis, and Balchoiv and Ksubas Isha are going to get from Ziburis, now Kash and Ahadadi. If you didn't say that you're talking about, if he didn't say that you're talking about when he had Idis and sold it, then wouldn't there be a stira? Wouldn't there be a contradiction? First, we're saying that the Baal Chayv gets Bainness, when Chatani Achriti doesn't mean in the continuation of the same Braisa, but rather there's a different Braisa. So our Braisa that we quoted before, the long Braisa that Rav Shmuel Ba'aba quoted, beginning Ein Lo Ela Idis, that one said that if he has only Bainness and Ziburis, we said that Nizokin and the Baal Chayv got Bainness, the Ksubas Isha and Ziburis. Now, a different Braisa, Katani Achriti, means Katani Achriti means we learn in a different Braisa that no, Bainness was Ziburis, Nizokin was Bainness, Baal Chayv and Ksubas Isha was Ziburis. That one says only the Nizokin get Bainness. The Baal Chayv and the Ksubas Isha are going to get Ziburis. Kashi and Ahadori, so wouldn't you have a contradiction then between the two Braises? One is saying that in that case the Baal Chayv gets Bainness, the other is it says that it gets Idis. So obviously the answer must be that that's how we reconcile them. Like Rav Abba answered and like Rav Chista agreed to, that the two Braises are talking about different scenarios. One where he had Idis and he sold it. So therefore he had Idis at the time of the loan. Therefore the Baal Chayv had a shibud on the Bainness, not on the Ziburis, because of the time. At the time the guy had Idis and Bainness and Ziburis, and we know of course in that case the Baal Chayv is entitled to Bainness, and then he sold his Idis, and the Baal Chayv still continues to be able to get that Bainness, whereas the second Braisa we'd be talking about where he didn't have Idis in the first place. So therefore, the Baal Chayv to begin with was only in line to get Ziburis, and therefore that's how it comes out now. Okay, so that's one way of understanding it. The Ibois Ema, oh, you know what? You could give another answer as well. There is another way that we could reconcile the Braisa. You could say, now here, Rav Abba was telling us that we do go according to Rav Abba had answered B'shaloi Hen Shomin, we go according to the valuation of the guy's own property, and therefore we said at the beginning, if he has Idis that's far better than everybody else's, then according to Rav Akiva, which is the halacha, he's going to be paying out his nizakin out of that field. Now we're going to say, and we said we can answer the contradiction of the two braises using that point that b'shaloi hein shomin, and say one braise is talking about we previously had idis and the other one is not. Now the bois ema. Now another way you could understand to reconcile the two braises is idiv idis shaloi hoy shaloi idis amachra. In either case, we're talking about he did not have idis and sold it. He never had idis in the first place, or it could even be that he still has it. Tosfos explains it can also mean that he still has idis. Shaloi hoy shaloi idis amachra could be that he never had idis. So one Braisa will be talking about he never had Idis. The other one is talking about where he had Idis and he still has it. Volaikasha, but we can still say there's no contradiction between the Braises. Hod de Shavya Bainness Shaloika Idis Alma, Vakandalo Shavya Bainness Shaloika Idis Alma. It depends. So he has Idis, which we said his Idis is far better than everybody else's. What about his Bainness? Is his Bainness the equivalent of everybody else's Idis, or is it not? So you could look at it. He didn't have Idis in the first place, but his Bainness is the equivalent of everybody else's Idis. So the first Braisa is going to say, Bishal Olam Hein Shomin, we look at the universal value of Bainness, of Idis versus Bainness versus Ziburis. So therefore, we're going to say this guy has Bainness. Yes, it's true his Bainness is equal to everybody else's Idis. However, the fact is, it is Bainness, and a Baal Chayv is entitled to Bainness, therefore he's going to get it. Then, whereas the second Braisa would hold that the Shaloi Hein Shomin is going to say that no, we have to go according to his valuation. He himself doesn't have Idis. He has Bainness. True that his Bainness is much better than everybody else's, but the fact is, that is relative to him. That's Idis, and a Baal Chayv doesn't get from Idis, therefore we're going to downgrade him to Ziburis. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi brings a second girsa that we're talking about. Rashi's preferred girsa is not like we have it in the Gemara in front of us. Rashi's preferred girsa is we're talking about that his bainness is equivalent to everybody else's bainness. So there he didn't have idis to begin with. So the first braisa is going to say, "Shal olam hein shamin." His bainness is equivalent to everybody else's bainness. Therefore, the Baal Chayiv gets that. The second one is going to say, "Look, b'shal olam hein shamin." Yes, this is bainness relative to everybody else, but it is relative to him because he doesn't have anything better. Therefore, the Baal Chayiv can't get from that because the Baal Chayiv doesn't get from idis unless there's nothing else other than idis. So that was Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi brings the second explanation and the girsa, which is the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara, which is that he had idis and then he sold it. So the first price would say shaloi hein shamin. Again, at one point it was his bainness. It is comparable to everybody else's idis, but therefore the Baal Chayiv will collect from that. And the second one will say shaloi lam hein shamin. Rashi, so according to Rashi's first explanation and girsa, in short, the first braisa holds b'shaloylam hein shamin, and the second one holds, like Rav Abba had said, b'shaloy hein shamin, and according to the second girsa in Rashi, it's the other way around. The first braisa holds b'shaloy hein shamin, like Rav Abba had said, and the second one holds b'shaloylam hein shamin. Tosfos has Tosfos prefers the second girsa and the second explanation. His bainness is equivalent to everybody else's ibis. And Tosfos explains a bit differently than Rashi. Shaloi hoisala idis umachra. Rashi's girsa was shahoisala idis umachra. So in Rashi's first girsa, he didn't have idis to begin with, and the second one he did. According to Tosfos, we're talking about in one case he had idis and sold it, and the other one is talking about he never had idis in the first place. So kind of a hybrid between the two of them. Marsha points out, in fact, that we would probably want to assume, when the Gemara said before, Shahoisala Idis Machra, and Rav Chista endorsed that understanding as well, we would rather stick with that understanding rather than start with a whole new understanding of the scenario and say that he never had Idis in the first place. That may be, says Marisha, why Rashi prefers the first Lashon, that we are still continuing with the point that he had Idis and sold it. We're just dealing with the question over here, is his bainness right now equivalent to everybody else's Idis? Or equivalent to everybody else's bainness in Rashi's first year, so. The Iboyasema continues the Gemara. Idiva, another way you could answer, Idiva, Idiva, and choice of bainness for like a bainness dalma. You could say that both braises are talking about where his bainness is equivalent to everybody else's bainness. Bahok pligi, the machlokas between the two braises would be exactly that. Mar sava b'shaloi hein shamin, or mar sava b'shaloi lam hein shamin. That could be the machlokas itself. Rav Abba is taking it as a given because the pasuk says meitav sadehu, it has to be that b'shaloi hein shamin, but not necessarily. The two braises may be arguing on that very point. So one of them would say, therefore, the Baal Chayiv is entitled to collect from bainness always, even if his bainness is the best that he has, and the other one, even though he never had idis in the first place, and the other one say no. B'shal olam hein shamin. The fact is, you have to go according to the valuation of. So one would say b'shal olam hein shamin. Therefore, the Baal Chayiv has to get bainness, even though this is his best, and the other one would say b'shal olam hein shamin. This is his best. Therefore, it's idis. A Baal Chayiv doesn't get idis. Therefore, we downgrade him to ziboris. So that would be another way of explaining two braises. So not, in other words, where he didn't have idis in the first place. The Boisema, yet another possibility. So those are several possibilities of reconciling the braises. So it's true that you don't have to say that the braises are agreeing on the point of the Shaloi and Shaman. They may be disagreeing on that point. Ravina Omar, Ravina says, here's another answer. The chlal, everything we've assumed so far is on the assumption that a Baal Chayiv is getting bainus. Now, we said before that midaraisa, a Baal Chayiv gets only ziburis, and only midarabanan does he get upgraded to bainus. We can talk about, is that in fact the case? Is that always going to be the case? Or are there cases where we're not going to do that tikkanes chachamim, and we're going to let the Baal Chayiv, and we're going to tell the Baal Chayiv he can collect only ziburis? And we have to figure what's the reason behind that din. So Ravina says, Bid Ula pli, the two brises may be arguing about what Ula says. The Oma Ula, Dvar Torah Balchoy Beziburis. Ula says, really, after all, Minat Torah, a Balchoy should be getting only Ziburis if he's collecting land. Shenema, because the Posik says, the Posik is describing a case where the Balchoy wants a mashkin. So you're talking about that he previously lent money to the guy. The guy is defaulting on the debt, and now he wants to go collect a mashkin so that eventually the guy is either going to pay back and get his mashkin, or he's going to keep it. There, the pasuk talks about the idea that you have to return the mashkin every night, but anyway, or every day, or the case maybe. But anyway, the pasuk says, "Shenemar b'chutz tamud." The pasuk says you are not allowed to go into his house to take a mashkin. B'chutz tamud, you have to stand outside. Well, Isha Shaftan no Shaboy, the person that owes you the money, Yotzia Lechas HaAvoitachutza, he will bring out the mashkin to you outside. So you are not allowed to invade his house to take the mashkin. Whatever he brings out for you is what you're going to get as a mashkin. Strictly speaking, Tosfos says, it's not actually the loiva himself has to bring it out. Strictly speaking, we'll learn in Bav Metzia, later this year, Bez Hashem, that what happens is a shliach beistin goes into it. We're talking about where the guy is defaulting on the debt, and therefore, so the malva goes to beistin, and beistin sends a shliach beistin. Now, the shliach beistin himself can go into the house. It's only the loiva that can't. But still, he's going to take whatever the loiva gives him. So therefore, so let's consider ma darka shel odim lahotzi lachutz. After all, when the pasuk phrases it as he brings it out, what does a person usually bring out of his house? Pachas shebe kelim, the least important, the least expensive of his kelim. So therefore, by saying lachutz tamod, by saying yotzi lacha, implies that we're talking about the least important of his kelim. Well, applying that to karka, then it means when he's bringing you karka, it means he's entitled to bring you the worst of his karka, his ziburis. In fact, actually, now we did learn before. Tosfos points out we learned before that kelim are always considered meitav. So what's the comparison anyway? The whole point is that kelim are always meitav because you can always take them and sell them someplace else. And karka, you have the distinction between ibis and bainus and so forth. And the point is, Tosfos says, fine, but the comparison is, just like with kelim, he usually brings out the worst, the same way with karka, he's entitled to bring out and give you the worst. There are a few other explanations among Rishonim, among them that maybe there's a difference between whether we're talking about what the person himself is getting versus what he's giving you. There we can say, what he's giving you, not necessarily is everything considered meitav. Another point is also, maybe Ola disagrees with that conclusion before. We said, kol mili meitav, who all metalpin are not considered meitav. Ola doesn't necessarily have to agree with that point. Anyway, whatever the case, from Minat Torah, he says, you see from that pasuk that if the loiva is paying with land, he's entitled to pay with ziburis. So why did the Chachamim instead upgrade and say to the Baal Choy gets bainness? As we said, so you don't lock the door in front of borrowers. In other words, so people are willing to lend money and not say, look, all I'm going to get out of it, I stand to only get ziburis out of it anyway, why should I bother? Well, we can say among the two brises, mar islay takanta de ola, mar leslay takanta de ola. Well, we can say the two brises disagree on that point. One of them holds of ola's takana and says therefore the Baal Choyv gets bainness, and the other one does not hold of that takana and would say, you know what? Anyway, the Baal Choyv is getting only ziburis. So therefore the second brisa would say even if the guy has idis now, relative to what he has, we can consider it bainness. Even if it is bainness relative to his own fields and relative to everybody else's fields, b'shaloy or b'shaloylam, nevertheless, we would still say that, look, Baal Choyv is supposed to be getting only ziburis, as it is daraisa. The second braisa doesn't hold of the takana that Ula explains. I mean, Ula himself is an amora. The braisas are before him, but the point that the din itself is mentioned in Mishnah in Gittin, that Baal Choyv gets bainness. Ula explained the reason behind it, which is why the Gemara is attributing it to Ula. The point is, the second braisa doesn't have to agree with that, and it can say that, in fact, the Baal Choyv only gets ziburis anyway, and therefore, in that case, where the guy has only bainness and ziburis, then, in fact, the Baal Choyv is going to get ziburis, because anyway, all the time, the Baal Choyv is only entitled to get ziburis, according to the second braisa. So if we understand the two brises that way, then they're not arguing about at all about the shalo, about the shaloi or the shaloi.
The only time he would get banis if he has idis.
So the only way he would get banis is if the guy has only banis or only idis and banis. Yeah. According to that, according to this last way, according to Ravina's way of understanding the second brisa. So that's that, whether we consider that the shaloi hen shaman or the shaloi lam hen shaman. So we said we have different brises that we can understand in different ways. Rav Abba had said as a flat statement, the shaloi hen shaman, and said, after all, isn't that what the pasuk implies? And that, in fact, ends up being the halacha. So the halacha would actually be then, if the mazik has idis, which is far better than anybody else's idis, that is what you're collecting from him. You could say relative to everybody else, his bainness or even his ziburis counts like their idis. Doesn't matter. We're still taking his idis. In the case of Baal Choyv, Baal Choyv gets bainness, and Ksuvas Yisha gets ziburis, and they also, we always go with Shaloi Hein Shaman.
Since your animal was mazik, we're going to take the best from you.
So we're going to say your animal was mazik, therefore you have to pay. Well, in the case if your animal was a, so it depends. If your animal was a tam, then you're only paying migufoi. But as we said before, you're only paying up to the value of the animal. But yeah, if it's any other kind of hezik, the muad or any other kind of hezik, then you're paying. Yeah. So again, we said if the mazik wants to pay with metaltlin, he can pay with any kind of metaltlin. We talked about yesterday. There is the Rama, who holds that if he has money, then he has to pay money, and only if he doesn't have, can he pay with bran or other things like that. The most Rishonim disagree with that, and the halacha is taken not like that. He's allowed to pay with bran, even lachachila, if that's what he wants. But if he's not going to pay with metaltlin, he's going to pay with land, then we have Zeres HaKosta that he has to pay with Meitav, and in that case, he's going to be paying with the best, with what's considered idis relative to his field, even if that is far better than what everybody else considers
idis. If he has idis, he pays him to buy bran and give him bran.
Okay.
Can't say I want to have this your idis.
There is, by the way, Tosfos points out in this connection where the guy doesn't have. We're talking about according to this last explanation of Ravina that the two brises are arguing whether b'chlal b'al choyv gets bainness or ziburis. There is also a consideration. The Gemara mentions in Gittin. We learned it. Why indeed doesn't a Baal Choyv get idis? Why indeed do we only upgrade him to bainness? Why not chum upgrade him all the way to idis like a nizik? And the reason is because you don't want a person to do what they call in English predatory lending. He's going to lend the person money, figuring the guy is likely to default, and there you go. There I have an opportunity to get his idis. So therefore, we don't want to give him an incentive to do that. So therefore, that applies. That would have Tosfos points out. That would apply in our Gemara over here. That if given the guy has only bainness and ziburis, then that according to the second brisa, that consideration becomes relevant. You don't necessarily want to give him the guy's bainness, because then to begin with, the lender may have said, you know what, I have a good idea. I'm going to lend the guy knowing that he has only bainness and ziburis, and then I'm going to end up getting his bainness. So therefore, that might be a reason to say that in that case, he sticks only with ziburis. Fine. Continues the Gemara. Now let's talk about more cases. So we have idis, bainness, and ziburis. Let's talk about what happens if the guy sells his properties and there's a shibud on them. So who collects from what? So Tana Rabban, mocha le'echad. If a person sold his lands to one person, so again, a person has three kinds of debts to a nizik, a baal choyv, and a ksuba, and he sold them all le'echad. He sold all of his idis and bainness and ziburis to one person. Or the shloisha b'nei adam ke'echad. Or he sold them to three different people all at the same time. Kulam nichnas yutachas abaylim. All of them take the place of the owner. Meaning, in other words, whoever bought the idis is going to be paying out the nizakin. Whoever bought the bainness is going to be paying out the baal choyv. And whoever bought the ziburis is going to be paying out the ksuvas yisha. On the other hand, if he sold them one after the other, then to different people. That's what we're going to talk about soon. What happens if he sells them all one after the other to one person? Right now, we're talking about where he sold them one after the other to three different people. Kulan, Goyim, and Achron, then all of them are going to collect from the last one who bought. That person bought the Ziburis. Doesn't matter. All of them are collecting from Ziburis because, as the Gemara is going to point out, the first and the second buyers can say, "Hinachti l'chamokim l'yibas hemenu." When I when I bought property from this guy. Then the first two people who bought can say, Hinachti l'chamakim ligvas hemenu. Look, I bought only one thing from this owner. At this point, he still has property of his own. That's B'nai Chorin. You can't collect from the Shabbatim where there are B'nai Chorin available. Therefore, you have no right to collect from, from me. Go collect from the last guy. Once the last guy bought, then the guy has no more property. All everything now is Mishabadim, so therefore you can collect from him, even though he's the one who bought the Ziboris. So therefore, Kulam Gavim and Akron, all of them collect from the last one. Einloy, and if he doesn't have enough, Gavim and Shalafonov, then they go back to the next one before him. Einloy, and if he still doesn't have enough, Gavim and Shalafonov, then you go back to the first one who bought. The point is, now we don't keep the order of Idis, Bainness, and Ziburis anymore. We go according to the order of what order they were sold in. So the Gemara asks, Tosfos, by the way, brings up the point that don't we have over here? Nizokin is a milval peh, and in general, does a milval peh collect from Mishabodim anyway? And the answer is either because they already went to Basedin, and then at that point it's considered as though it's Bishtar, or because it's Milvak Sulfur Baturah, because the Torah says he has to pay, and such a thing is also, the Gemara discusses in some places, is considered as though it's written in a Shtar. Tosfos also brings up a point that if the Nizif and the Balchoiv and the Ksubas Isha are all coming at the same time to collect, then we're going to say that then we're going to have to look at which one's Shtar comes first. Because only if all three things happen at the same time, then we're going to have to talk about that they go, which one is going to get to collect first is also going to depend on, so we're talking about which one they collect from, but you also have to ask which one gets to collect first. That's going to depend on the dates of their shtaris.
Now, even if he says anachdol chamakim advice, that's going to be good only for the guy who's goyver zburius, but the other guys who are the other one to get to a bainless or idius, he didn't have a noivachti because you get some bellies.
So that's what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is going to bring up that point, yeah. So first the question is, we said, mochrin la'echad heichidami. What is the scenario when we're saying he sold them all to one person? Ilema vasachas. Are we talking about he sold them all to the one person, all in one shtar? Well, then what's the chiddush? Hashdol shloisha, when he sold them to three people, and you could claim that he sold them to one of them first. We just don't know because shtaris usually don't have, Tosfos points out, a shtar has a date on it. A shtar does not usually have a time on it. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that in Yerushalayim, they would put the time on a shtar, but in other places they did not. So therefore, when you have three shtaris, that are all dated Rosh Chodesh Kislev Tavshin Pei Dalet, you don't have really a way of knowing which one was actually sold first. By the way, if one of them claims I bought it first, then do we believe them? There's actually a machloikas. They're not. Do we believe them? Do we accept that as a claim and say Nachti l'chamakim ligvas hemenu? And Shulchan Aruch actually brings two opinions about that. If he says, look, I bought it first, Nachdel Chamakim, and it was all the same day, I'm claiming that mine was first. So Yesh Mishoim, Shulchan Aruch says, some say we pay attention to what he says, and the other opinion says no. The fact is the shtaris all say the same day, and we don't have the time. So in other words, the point would actually be, it's not just a matter of a suffix, when are the three Kinyonim Chal only at the end of the day? Well, then they're all chal at the same moment. So the fact that he says that I came at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and the rest of them came at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that wouldn't matter because we don't write shoyts on the shtar, and therefore the din is the kinyan is only chal at the end of the day.
So what do they write?
So they don't. They just write the date.
Right, but you said that in Yerushalayim.
In Yerushalayim, they would write the date as well. In Yerushalayim, they write the times as well. So in Yerushalayim, they might write this one came at 1 o'clock, this one came at 2 o'clock. So then fine, then we have a way of knowing which one came first. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara. So we're saying that if he sold it to one person, then kulam nichnasu tachas abaylam. But the question is, what are we talking about? Ilema v'vas'achas, are we talking about we sold them all in one shtar? Well, what's the chiddush? Hashdol shloisha. What are you talking about? We sold it to three people. De'ik alameim achad minayu kodim. Conceivably, one of them might have bought before the other two. And yet, am kulam nichnasu tachas abaylam. And we're still saying that all of them go in instead of the baylam. Mocher ma'echad mi'boya. would you need to say in the case where he sold them all to one person? Obviously not. So therefore, it's clear that we can't be talking about he sold them to one person in one shtar. So we have to be talking about where he sold them to one person, one after the other. First, he sold the Idis, then the Beninis, then the Ziboris. Well, the question is, well, then in that case, then what's the difference? When he sells it to three people, we're saying the chochad b'chad omalei. Why is it that they can? Why is it they have to start collecting from the last one? Because each one can say he nachti l'chol makom ligvus menu. Each one can say, you know what? When I bought, then the original person who owed all these things. Let's give them names to keep things straight. Yaakov owned Moshe owed a bunch of things. He owed for Nizokin and Ksubas Isha and Balchoy. Now he sells it. He owed to all three of them. Now he goes and sells his Idis to Reuben, his Beninis to Shimon, and his Ziboris to Levi. So we say they all collect from Levi, because Levi, Reuven and Shimon can say, go collect from Levi, all of you, even though some of you are supposed to get more than Ziboris, because the fact is, when we bought, then he still had something left. Well, so now if he sells them all to one person, one after the other, in three shtaris, when it's only one person, why can't Reuven, who bought all the fields, why can't he say the same thing? Why should you be collecting from my Idis that I bought from Moshe when, after all, when I bought that Idis, Moshe still had the Beninis and Ziboris, he nachta l'chol makom ligvus menu. So therefore, so why in that case are we saying Nichnas or Tachta Bailim and he has to pay out the Idis to the Nizek and the Beninis to the Balchoy? The answer is because you could be talking about the case where this one person, Reuben, the last thing he bought is the Idis. Well, therefore, so he would rather actually that they each go for whatever they're supposed to get, Idis, Beninis, and Ziboris, respectively. If they go according to Achron, they're all going to be getting from Idis and he doesn't want to have to do that. And Rav Sheshes says the same thing. Well, the question is, in that case, Tata, they should all have the right to collect from Idis. How can he tell them, no, I don't want to do that? Can't they say, on the contrary, yeah, you have Hinachti l'chol makom ligvus menu. Therefore, when you bought the Beninis and Ziboris, then the original owner still had the Idis, and we could have collected from him at that point because it was Bnei Chorin. Now, at this point, the fact that you bought the Idis shouldn't prevent us from all collecting from it. Why does he have the right to say, no, I'll give you and you only Beninis and Ziboris, respectively?
Well, he owns all three.
He owns all three, but that's the question. That's the question. Why is he able to do that? Why is he able to give the Baal Choy from Beninis when the Baal Choy can counter-argue? He can say, look, if you had stopped at only the Beninis and Ziboris, then I would have been collecting from Idis. Now that you bought the Idis last, why does that prevent me from getting from that same Idis?
The only thing is that when the original owner owned it, he owned all three also.
Yeah, but the point is, in other words, he sold one after the other. That's what he said. When he said he sold it to one person, we mean v'zach hazeh, three separate shtaris. So now the question is, in other words, if it was all in one shtar, sure, then of course they're collecting each from their respective thing. The question is, though, that in three separate shtaris on the same day, so again, let's assume there were different times in the day, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. 1 o'clock, he bought the Ziboris. At that point, if he stopped there, then the collectors can collect from Beninis and Idis, respectively, because that's all that Moshe has left. Later on, he goes and buys the Beninis, same thing. All of them should be collecting from the Idis. Why now that at 3 o'clock he bought the Idis, why does that now make that now they get bumped back down to Beninis and Ziboris, respectively? Why can't they say there was a point where we could have collected from Idis because there was a point when he nachta l'chol makom ligvus menu, you left us Idis in the hands of Moshe, and we could have collected from him. Why is the fact that you bought it now, why does that take away that possibility from us? And the reason is because he can answer them back. If you're willing to be quiet, and you're willing to take according to your regular din, Beninis and Ziboris respectively, then go ahead and take it. And if not, I will return the shtar of Ziboris to the owner. I will make it, in other words, as though I never bought the Ziboris in the first place, and then you're all going to have to collect from Ziboris, because that's all the guy owns at the time. So therefore, in other words, he's saying to them, now, with the Ksubas Isha, she's not really gaining one way or the other. I mean, either way, she's getting Ziboris. But at least as far as the Nizokin and the Baal Choyv, he can tell them, you know why you're getting only, from what you deserve. Well, the Baal Choyv, let's say, why are you Baal Choyv getting only from Daininess when you argue you should be getting Iddis? Because I have capability of making it that you should collect only Ziburis by undoing the sale of the Ziburis. Rishonim disagree, by the way. Is that a serious claim that Basin will uphold, or is it just like an empty threat? So if you say it's an empty threat, the point is the other guy might say, as the Gemara itself is going to mention soon, L'chita hadir, fine, if you go and return it, then I'll deal with it. Right now, the fact is you haven't. If you say that it's a serious claim, then it's something that Beis Din Tak has to deal with, and it would also mean, therefore, if he doesn't make the claim himself, Beis Din might make it on his behalf. We often have a concept that if a person himself doesn't know what claims he could make, then Beis Din can speak up to a certain extent, and he'd have to be careful. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, they shouldn't make themselves like lawyers for him, but there are cases where Beis Din will taina on behalf of the person. For example, if it's a Yurish, for one thing. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi, the Nizokin Nami Nemahochi. Well, in that case, the same thing should apply to the Nizok, that he could tell him, if you want to take Bainis, then good, and if not, then I'm going to make it that you're going to get Ziburis. Why does he have to give him Idis? Ella, Hocha, Maiskin, and Vyasni. So rather, we can't be talking about where the original people over here are still alive. We have to be talking about where the seller, after he sold these properties, he died. So now, the Yisoymin, he left them Metaltlin, but Metaltlin are not Meshubad to a Baal Choyv. Therefore, we have to be talking strictly about Tarka. So now Rashi goes on to explain that when he gives them Karka, it's like the equivalent of Yisoymin buying Karka after their father died. So therefore, as the Gemara continues, the shibur de delay alei de ram. Therefore, the shibur of the mazik who since then has died is now only on the lekeach, because now the yisraelim don't have a shibur anymore because they didn't inherit any karka from their father because it was all sold before they died, and therefore before he died. And therefore they have no shibur. So he can't say, you know what, I would give back the shtar of Ziburis, and you're all going to collect from Ziburis. But the question is still, if he bought the Idis at the end, then why are they not collecting from Idis? Why don't they collect from their respective things? Because Idis, Benis, and Ziburis is because he can say, I can return the shtar. But here, if we're talking about where he died and his son's Yarshin only is Metalplin because his Tauke he already sold, and therefore we're saying there's no Shibur on the Yisraelim anymore, and therefore the buyer can't say, I'll give back the shtar. So then we're back to the question. Then why are we saying if he sold the Idis last, why can't they all collect from Idis? Now that he doesn't have that Ishak Kisu, now that he doesn't have that excuse to say that I would return the shtar. There is, by the way, a discussion among Rishonim. Are we talking about specifically where the Yisomim are little, or are we talking about even where they're adults? Anyway, we're back to the question: why is it that we're saying that they all collect from the last one? If he bought Idis last, why aren't they all collecting from Idis? So the answer is Ela Mishum de Omalahu. No, the reason is because the Lekeach can make a different argument to them. He can say, Time of my Omer Abonin ain't the Froim in the Chosim Shabbatim Makam Shiesh Bene Chorin. Why did the Chachamim to begin with say this Takana, that you can't collect from the Shabbatim from property that was already sold when there's Bene Chorin, and therefore you want to argue that when I bought the Benness and Ziburis, at that point there was still Idis in the hands of the original guy, and therefore you could have collected from him, and now therefore you want to say that shouldn't change just because later on I bought the Idis from them? Well, the reason is, he says, Mishim Takanta Didi. The reason behind that Takana in the first place is to benefit me. Because you don't want to have that a person is going to buy land, and then maybe later on he's going to find out that the Baal Choyv or whatever is going to be taking it. Where instead we would say he wouldn't have bought the property in that case in the first place. So therefore the Chachamim make it. It's better usually for the Lekeach to not have to pay off, but rather to make the original person pay off. Only if he can't, only if he sold everything, then we start going after the buyers. Well, the point of that takana was for my benefit. In this particular case, the takana comes out to be to my detriment. With that takana, you would all be collecting from the idis I bought from him. Without that takana, we're going to go back to the rule that each of you is going to collect from your respective thing. Idis, benis, and ziboris. I would rather have it that way. And that's a valid argument to the Rav. That's a valid argument, like Rav says. If a person says, I don't want the takana of the chachamim, as an example like this, shoymin loy, then we listen to him. When a person says that the takanas chachamim in this particular case doesn't benefit me and I want to do without it, then we can pay attention to what he says. Mike goinzu, what do we mean like this? So that would be kedir Rav Huna, like what Rav Huna says. The Amar Rav Huna, yichoyla isha shetravela baila in any zonis for any oisa, we learn from ksubas, usually what a woman earns, or what she makes, a wool, spins wool or whatever, belongs to her husband, and in return for that she gets mizonis from her husband, that the husband supports her financially, she's entitled to say, any mizonis for any oisa, I don't want that takanas hachamim, I don't want you to support me, I don't want to have to produce my siyadayim, I'll support myself. Since that's the takana that was originally made for her benefit,
she could say
that. And therefore she could say that. So therefore, in a similar vein over here, since it benefits the guy in this particular case to say, I don't want takanas chachamim of Mishra Bodim versus Bnei Chorin, then we listen to him. Therefore, we say they can't all collect from Idis. They can only collect from the Nizek is still going to collect from Idis, but the Baal Choyim and the Ksubas Isha are going to collect from Bainis and Ziburis as they usually
do. If one guy bought all,
that's what we're talking about, where one guy bought them, but he bought them one after the other. If he bought them all in three different shtaris, if he bought them all in one shtar, then none of that applies, and then they all collect from their respective things regardless. Okay. The Gemara continues further on this topic of where he sells the different kinds of property. Pshita. Now it's obvious that if Mochel Lekeach Benes Ziboris, that if the Lekeach himself, went and turned around and sold the Benes and Ziboris, the Shir Idis Lefonav. So in other words, now we have the original person who owed things. You had Moshe who owed things. He sold everything to Reuven and was saying he sold it one after the other to Reuven. Now Reuven himself turns around and sells some of it to Shimon. So if he sells the Benes and Ziboris, the Shir Idis Lefonav, and he left the Idis, there's no question Leisu Kula Veligbo Meidis. Obviously, all of them are collecting from Idis, because the last one in his possession, and therefore, if it had still been in the hands of the original Lekeach, then that was the last one, they would have collected from him. The same thing now, here you don't say EF Shibatakanas Fachamim, because the fact is Bainus Viziburis Lesnu Gabe. He doesn't own the Bainus and Ziburis anymore. The Mati Lemalahu government Bainus Viziburis Dolinikoli Takantabana. So in the earlier case he could say, you know what, I want you to collect from Bainus and Ziburis because the Takana of the Chachamim would make it that you have to collect from Idis and I don't want that Takana Chachamim. Here he sold the Bainus and Ziburis. There's nothing to talk about. Obviously therefore they're all collecting from Idis. Abel, the question would be, Mocha Idis, Vashir Benes and Ziburis, Mai. What happens the other way around? If he sold the Idis, he still has the Benes and Ziburis. Do we say that they can go from this, they can go to the second buyer and collect from Idis? There we don't say anymore that it's a matter of Meshabodim and Bnei Chodin, because all of them are Meshabodim, none of them are in the hands of the original owner anymore. Or do we still say that they can only go after what's in the hands of the first buyer? So Abaya thought to say that all of them can collect from the Idis, because after all, at this point, that's the last one, because and at this point, this is the last of the Bnei Chorin. But Omelei Rava, but Rava says no. Ma Mocha Rishon Lasheni calls Chus Shetava the other. After all, when the first person sells to the second one, along with what he's selling all Chus that he has. Now, the Kibin de Ilu also Gabi Lakeach Rishon. Now, if they went to the first buyer when he has the Idis, Motzi Agbi Lahu, he would be able to Ben Nes Ziburis. He would have been able to give them from the Ben Nes Ziburis, because again, he would say, I don't want to punish Chachamim, like we said before. Then in that case, even though the Benes and Ziburis were, when he bought them, the Idis was still Bnei Chorin, And therefore, the in the firm in the chosin of the shabbatim caused man the ikar b'nei chorin. And again, we said that you can't collect from the shabbatim where there are b'nei chorin. But again, that was a takana for the benefit of the buyer. And after all, he says, motzi omalei lenichali b'hai takana. And we said before, he can say, I don't, in this particular case, that takana doesn't help me, it hinders me, and therefore I don't want to take advantage. Well, by the same logic, makeach sheni nami motzi omalei gavi beinus viziburis. This is the second buyer who buys from the first one whatever schus he had in this property. The same logic applies. He can also say, Govi Beinus Viziburis, collect from Beinus and Ziburis, the Kik Zobin Lakeach Sheni, the second buyer bought the Igis, he left the Beinus and Ziburis in the hands of the first one, Adai to the Kos Chosa de Abel Elirishin Begav Zobin. Then he buys it, having in mind all the Chos that the original one had. So since if the original one had all three of them, and he had bought the Igis last, we would say, he could say, like we said before, you collect from Beinus and Ziburis, the same way now, when he turns around and sells the Beinus and Ziburis to somebody, and sells rather the Igis to somebody else, that somebody else has the same right to make that same claim, because the one I bought it from could have said about this idis, EFG, but Takanas Fakhamim, so can I.
It's only if you bought all of them.
So we're talking about another thing. In other words, that. So you had Moshe, the original one who owed all three things. Then he sold everything to Reuven, and he sold idis last. So he said, Reuven has the right to say to the people, you can't all collect from idis. I, Takanas Fakhamim, EFG, but Takanas Fakhamim. Now, when Reuven turns around and sells that idis to Shimon, the same thing applies. Shimon can also say, you don't have the right to collect from my idis. Because instead you collect from the Beinus and Ziburis that are still in the hands of Reuven. Reuven is not the original Baal Chayv. Fine, but when Reuven sold the Idis to me, he sold along with it whatever rights he had on the Idis. Just like if he owned all of them, he could have said, I bought the Idis last and EF Shibet Akonis Chachamim. The same way, I bought that Idis from him, I can also say that I bought from him the right to say EF Shibet Akonis
Chachamim. If he owns Beinus and Ziburis.
They're talking about where Reuven still owns the Beinus and Ziburis. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Even though he sold
the Idis now to somebody else, so that's the thing. Abai had thought that no, at this point, it's not Meshabodim versus B'nei Chorin, because all of them are Meshabodim, none of them are in the hands of Moshe anymore. But Rava is saying no, the fact is, when he buys Karka, together with it, he buys the rights of all of them. Yeah. Okay. Another din, Omar Rava, Reuven Shemacha calls the dose of L'Shimon. Here's a related din. If Reuven sells all his fields to Shimon, v'holach Shimon amochav soda achas lo Levi, Shimon then goes and sells one of those fields to Levi, or bo bal choiv de Reuven, and Reuven's bal choiv now wants to collect. So then, we're talking about that Reuven doesn't own any fields anymore. All of them are in Shimon's hands except for one that's in Levi. The bal choiv, rotzim izeh goiva. He can collect from either one that he wants. Because neither one has in other words, he can collect, if he wants to collect from Levi, because after all, you bought the Shibud, you bought a land that was under my Shibud, and therefore I'm entitled to it, or he could collect from Shimon, because he could say, look, you bought everything from Reuven in the first place, therefore you're more my Baal Dvarim, therefore I have more of a claim against you, so therefore he can say to Shimon, you only have Ziburis, fine, I'm willing to take that rather than having to bother with Levi. However, Veloyam Moron, Ela Dezavan Beinus. Now that would only apply if Levi had bought Beinus from Shimon. Abel Zavan Idis Ziburis Loi. But if Levi had bought either Idis or Ziburis, then no. Then the Baal Chayv has no right to go after Levi in the first place. The Omale, because Levi can say, Mahoki Daiti Bezavni Idis Ziburis, the precise reason why I made sure to buy from Shimon the Idis or Ziburis is out of the Lechaz Yoloch, is because that's land that's not suitable for you. So if I bought Beinus, sure, it means that I have a Shibud now and you could collect from me. But if I bought Idis or Ziburis, to begin with, I made sure that I'm buying something that's not under your Shibud, so go after Shimon. Even if he did buy the Beinus, we also have to be talking about where the Beinus, where he didn't also leave behind by Shimon other Beinus of the same quality. Then he can't say Nachti L'chamakim because there's no other Beinus that Shimon owns that's of that quality. Aber Shir Beinus, But if he left over Bain, that's the Kavaseh, of the same quality, Gabashimin, Loy Govimine, then again the Baal Choyv cannot collect from Levi, the Motzi Omele, and after the Hamakim, like the same menu, because he can say, fine, I bought Bainness, and all Bainness is under your Shibur, but at this point we have a Nifron, Nachosim, Shabbatim, Makim Shiesh, B'nei Chorin. It's true, it's not total B'nei Chorin because it's not in Reuven's hands anymore. Reuven is the one who owed you money, Shimon is not. Nevertheless, since Shimon bought all of Reuven's properties, then Shimon takes over where Reuven left off. Now, he took the whole package, therefore, relative to him, this is B'nai Chorin, and therefore you don't have a right to collect from me, Levi, go after Shimon. Only if Shimon doesn't have Bainness of that type, then you can talk about collecting from...
Shimon's the last buyer.
So Shimon was, yeah. No, Levi was the last buyer, but we said Levi bought only one property. So what we're saying, where he bought Bainness, and Shimon still has Bainness, and Shimon has no other Bainness of that quality, that is where we say that now the Baal Choyv can either go after Levi to get the Bainness, or he can go after Shimon to get the Ziburis. But if Shimon still has Bainness, then he Davka has to go to Shimon. He has no option of going to Levi, because Levi can say, either I didn't buy Bainness in the first place, or he can say, yes, I bought Bainness, but I made sure that Shimon has other Bainness that you can collect from instead. Fine. So we'll continue tomorrow. We'll continue Matzah Shabbos, says Hashem, with more of these cases of Nechosim, Shabbatim, and Indus, Bainness, and Ziburis, and all of that. Okay. Fair, everyone.